Victory and defeat are often determined by the smallest detail.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Kessel Run Weekly. My name is Danny.
I'm Heather.
And welcome back to our Holocron Book Club. First off, I want to say just kind of a quick apology to everybody who was waiting on the live stream yesterday. We really apologize. It wasn't for lack of trying.
No.
Technology just did not like us that day. So, this is why we're going to just record it for you guys and release it. And, yeah. But
we are going to continue to try.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're
definitely going to keep trying for the live stream and everything. We've got some bugs, obviously, to work out. Probably some womp rats in our system or something. I'm not really sure. Minox, more than likely. I just want to apologize to you guys. But thank you for hanging around and sticking with us. We really appreciate it. And please, just because this isn't live does not mean we don't want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. Any comments you had about the chapters that we're reading today, or going over today, rather. Any kind of anything about the book. Or if you just want to talk to us, say, hey, what's up? I mean, we're down. I'm always down to talk to somebody new. I know Heather is too.
Definitely.
Kind of how this thing got started. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and we'll start our Holocron Book Club. So this week we're starting chapters 4 through 6 is what our, I guess, homework. I don't know.
It's our schedule. Our schedule.
I just never have like those. Your homework for the week is no.
No.
So chapters 4 through 6 of Timothy Zahn's Thrawn, which was really, really exciting. It wasn't quite as upbeat as the first few chapters,
right?
I noticed, but it had a lot of rich story to it. Even a guest from, which I would imagine she's probably going to be important going forward, somebody from Rebels that we know. Choppy-haired, creepy lady.
See, I know that, but you say Price, and I don't necessarily know that one.
Right, yeah.
But at least now we know that exactly. How they know each other, and it's kind of cool to see
It is. It's really cool to see them a little bit more interconnected. Because when I saw the name Arinda Price, like, they really don't refer to her as her first. She's Governor Price in Rebels, for anyone who doesn't know. The name just sounded really familiar. And it was just kind of like, so what's going on here? And it's really cool to see. I mean, obviously she's in the book for a reason. I want to see her and Thrawn intersect prior to Rebels.
Yes.
I think that would be really, really cool. And it's heading that way. I mean, she's climbing her corporate ladder pretty quick, selling out her family's mine, all that kind of stuff. Her character, to me, really closely resembles Thrawn as far as her cunning and how she kind of tries to plan out scenarios and thinks of each angle of what it could do, knows the consequences and goes for it anyways. I would say she's probably even a little bit more reckless than Thrawn in some respects. But, yeah, what did you think?
I didn't see the tie to the episodes of Rebels, so I was kind of really surprised when you told me who she was. But I thought that she was very cunning. She's, I mean, she's like, because I know it's all about Thrawn, but I like that they brought her in, and it was kind of a little. It seemed like a divergence, but it's not. Hopefully,
right.
It's going to all meld into each other before it's all over.
Well, as weird as it may seem, like, I kind of feel like, I guess, kind of the mind of the book is Thrawn. And so I almost anticipate everything is for a reason anyways.
Definitely.
Just because it's Thrawn.
It is. It's Thrawn. And she sat there and she doesn't take any stuff. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly what she wants. She's going to go get it.
Mm-hmm. And she's loyal to a fault as well. Where she's ready to lay down for her family, and her family's mining. And then basically it comes to, well, just so you know, Empire's going to take it whether you give it to us or not. So you make your decision. And at that point, it's almost like a switch goes off in her. It's just kind of like, I guess I could just get away and not have to deal with the consequences.
And when I do, and I do come up in the ranks, you are going down.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing to me. That was the moment when Anakin Skywalker became Vader. And he, in the book, he was like, yeah, you go ahead, Emperor. Or it wasn't the Emperor at the time. But, you know, you go ahead, Palpatine. You do what you do. And I'm going to kill you. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, she's very vindictive, very revenge-focused, I can tell. I think Yuvis is going to have it coming for sure.
Yes.
he pushed a little too hard, so I can see that. Like, I could see him and that governor on Lothal basically disappearing eventually. Like, that's the kind of vibe I got from her of, cool, they're not even going to know you exist. But, yeah, you go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah.
Like, she's scary even in her early days.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, that guy just thought he was going to be able to walk all over her. And she's just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Fought, man. Yeah, she was very, very set in her ways on that. But I like that about her character because it mirrored who she is throughout. Like, if anything, you can say that Governor Price and then this version of Arenda Price, she's consistent. She knows what she wants. She knows how she's going to get there. And she even says in the book that she's in no hurry.
Right.
But she'll get there eventually, which is scary.
Yeah.
Because she's got all that time to think about what she's going to do when she gets to the top.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. But I'm interested to see where it's going to intersect and everything. Because, like, I mean, obviously we don't see that she knows Thrawn until Thrawn arrives on set, basically. So it'll be interesting to see if they worked with each other prior. If she helped him even come higher in the ranks. Recommendation, things like that.
Right. That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah. So. For sure. And then we get a little bit more, obviously, about our favorite bro-ship. Eli Vantos and Thrawn. So that's really cool.
And he saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
And thought that was kind of awesome that he would sit there and push him out of the way and leave himself. Of course, because, I mean, if he had time to push him out of the way, he had time to turn around and fight.
Oh, yeah.
But his skills are not as adept as they are going to become.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I liked, and I actually wasn't really sure if he was pushing him out of the way for the sake of pushing him out of the way. I thought he was like for some reason, for a second, I was like, did Thrawn just turn on him? Like, what just happened? And like, it was kind of like, wow. But yeah, when he threw him over and everything, like it to me, that was big on Thrawn's part because that 1 second he had, because you know how he manages his time, thinks out the scenario and things like that. That 1 second that he accounted for to throw him off, he knew he was going to take that hit.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to get hit and he was going to take some damage to that. And so it was noble.
I thought so.
Yeah. Like he's portrayed as just, and he really is, just an ultimate evil on Star Wars Rebels. But right now, it's almost like we get to see a heart a little bit of someone who either actually cares for him or in a way to where he's like, I'm not done with you yet kind of thing. This is not your time. It'll come later. Maybe maybe we're giving him too much credit, or maybe I'm giving him too much credit. But I thought it was really cool how he was able to assess that those cadets would be good starfighter pilots.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
And like, he looked at Eli like, did you not?
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's not normal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I liked how that was cool because it was on, because in even my perspective at first when Eli was talking about it. So
how
he thought it was really cool how For one, he was able to assess that they would be good fighter pilots. But on the other side of that as well, how even in our perception, I know I perceived it that way, where he was like, oh, well, you should ship them off to the Royal Imperial Navy. And Eli's like, why are you rewarding them? But like, it was cool because the way he thought of it, it was like, well, it may be a reward in the end, but they're going to be living in fear for the next few years,
right,
wondering if they're going to be snatched up in the middle of the night and stuff like that, or if it's going to catch up to them and all this, because they don't know where they're going. And that uncertainty is terrifying. And I thought that was ingenious. Like, that was wild. It was like, here's a promotion. By the way, you don't know it's a promotion. He's like, just keep watching over your shoulder for the next few years.
And even, I mean, he doesn't exactly know exactly where he's going to be, but we do.
Right.
So we know that now in Rebels, those people, if they survived or whatever, we don't know. But if they did, they're probably living in fear now too, because he's big stuff and he can do whatever he wants to them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because they certainly aren't Grand Admiral.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, it adds a whole nother dimension to him, and it's almost as if he's starting to build that reputation of fear that we see in the current iterations of him. It's slowly starting to come to light, and it's not even through actual terror. That's the coolest part about
right.
It has nothing to do with him trying to be intimidating or throwing his anger or anything like that. He's simply just, okay, well, send them off.
Yeah.
They'll never know what's going to happen, and they won't know what's going to happen the next day, and they'll be looking over their shoulders for a very long time.
Yes.
It's just kind of like, wow. And so it kind of makes me wonder, like, when we actually do see him strike in Rebels, and when we see the unhinged Thrawn even coming up, that what that Thrawn looks like, because he's been through some stuff so far and he's pretty put together. So it obviously takes a lot for him to lose it. I'm interested to see that breaking point.
Me too. And were you curious as to what the Chiss stories were?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because everybody keeps referencing the lore and everything, mm-hmm. and you're like, and even he was like, yeah, well, I didn't say they weren't true. I just said, you know, not you can't believe everything you hear. That's all I said.
Oh yeah. And I loved how he was interested in the legends. So basically he never denied them, but at the same time, he's like, it's interesting to hear the story from a storyteller, not the original storyteller.
Right.
And how what it's turned into and things like that. Because you can obviously tell he's using that to his advantage in some way.
Right.
He's neither confirming or denying. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And so I thought that was really cool, seeing all that come out and everything. And then the whole thing with Eli getting his orders.
That was dramatic, because we knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously.
But for him,
he was crushed.
Yeah, because he had just talked to his parents, you know, about it. And they were like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, I'm not going to have to worry about that because I'm a supply officer. And then, bam, you're an aide. Yeah. You're an aide for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. And then Thrawn's like, well, it wasn't me. I only said you'd be valuable to da 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 da.
Right.
And he's just like immediately it's almost like he diffused him because Eli was livid. And then he was like, I mean, I only mentioned that you were really good at this.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, okay.
Okay.
Kind of like a, well, you're not wrong. Yes. very reluctant, but I thought that's cool that he's bringing him through the ranks with him.
Yes.
Whether it be intentionally or inadvertently.
Oh, it's intentionally.
I think it's intentional. He's playing a game all the way through.
All the way through.
All the way to the top. But yeah, so that these chapters really lended us a lot to, I guess, a lot of the development for Thrawn. As far as seeing his character grow, that he wasn't always together. Like, obviously he's trained and he's still playing a game, but to see him put himself in front of someone else to save them and things like that suggests that he's not necessarily, or at least at this point, not necessarily an evil man of some sort, but not necessarily a purely evil man, but it could be all in perspective.
That's because, what I think, because like even in Rebels, though, he's really not an ultimate evil. I mean, he seems it from their perspective.
Right.
But I feel like he's not really an ultimate evil because he's just, that is his job. And now that I see him in this book, I realize that he's pretty loyal.
Oh, yeah.
And so if he has decided that this is going to be his path, he's going to go for it and do it to the best of his ability.
Kind of makes you wonder if he would have been picked up by the Rebellion instead.
Yeah. he's brutal, but it's kind of...
He does what he's got to do to get it done.
Exactly. That's
the biggest thing is that it's the mission. And he even questions a few times, like when Eli's telling him about, or not Eli, I can't remember who it was, but he was talking to a commandant. Yeah, Dean Lark, about policy and things like that and the political pull that some richer families on Coruscant have and things like that. And he's like, is that not illegal? Like, straight up questions him, like, well, hold on now. Is that not illegal? Well, yeah, technically. Okay, so what's the problem? And so it's straightforward. He looks at it as this is what it is.
Right.
And I think through this training and him climbing the ranks, he's going to see that not everything is technically what it seems.
Right.
As far as when someone says one thing, they could mean an entirely different thing. And that may not be really what he's used to as far as his culture, the little bit that we know. The way he described his culture, though, about talking about being exiled and everything, kind of made me feel, and I'm probably going to get some crap for this, but probably made me kind of feel like Vulcan, like on Star Trek, the Vulcans. That's what it kind of reminded me of, how you had your Vulcans who they cherished knowledge and strategy and things like that. And if one of them would have gone rogue or decided that they had the better answer or whatnot, if that was even a thing. I don't even think the Vulcans really do this, but still, that's what he kind of reminded me of.
Right.
As far as how calculated they are and how this is how it has to happen. And I got the sense that they were, I keep trying to think of how to say, not really pacifist, but won't strike first.
Right. They won't strike first unless struck upon. They have to be the victim in order. It has to be self-defense, basically.
Yeah. And then Thrawn's point of view of that is by that time, you've already lost so many people, depending on the attack.
Exactly.
So why not prevent it beforehand? And so I thought that was an interesting glimpse into that culture. I really hope we get to see more of his culture for sure in the book.
I do too. I'd like to see his people, like, actually... Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to see how he's going to help his people through the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see why he didn't go back to his people after he helped them. But then he's already in it and, you know, he's already made this commitment. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like everything he's doing moving through the ranks is to still help his people.
Exactly.
To get back to them in some way to help them. Whether that end up being that his planet comes under Imperial control or something like that, to where he's the one who can say so.
Right.
That's what it feels like he's going to. I mean, obviously that's not what has been seen yet, but that seems the direction that he's trying to kind of run with.
Right.
That's the vibe I got on it, but yeah.
But last time I told you I was on chapter 7 and I was on chapter 6.
Oh,
so
we're together now.
Yeah, we're together now. And I decided not to read ahead because there's no real reason to read ahead, and I mm-hmm. will go at our schedule. And so I read the last chapter, and I was just like, oh, wow, we get to see why, you know, the pirates and everything, why mm-hmm. he was exiled. But I knew it was something to do with, you know, he did something to help his people mm-hmm. that they didn't approve of, or they approved of, but they couldn't technically approve mm-hmm. of it, or, and that's exactly what happened. So I think that that was cool.
Oh, definitely. It wasn't some nefarious plot that he had or anything like that. It was, I mean, and even from a perspective, from the perspective he's given us, it was all, it just in defense, a preemptive strike to help save his people before right. there was loss of life, which doesn't make him a bad dude.
Well, I mean,
just like, yeah, just against their laws.
We're yeah. all the heroes of our own story. So mm-hmm. we'll see if that's really how it went down eventually. Definitely. I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really liked the richness in story and everything in these three chapters. I felt like it really moved everything along very well. And we're seeing him climb very quickly. So I have a feeling that we could actually see Grand Admiral in this maybe earlier than at least I thought. And maybe even get some backstory and see if he's run into the rebellion before.
That would be cool. It would be cool if we saw him run into the rebellion at some point. And just, I don't know, like maybe they did something that he didn't expect mm-hmm. out of, because he's got to expect everything, mm-hmm. kind of, because, you know, like we discussed last time, he always knows the 15th move ahead.
Oh, yeah.
So, it would be interesting to see if someone kind of threw him off of his game, even for a second, and maybe that's why he's so... they will mm-hmm. be crushed and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Give him a reason to want to pull that thorn out of his side.
Right. So, yeah. But, I mean, I can't say that that's going to happen, definitely. But that would be an mm-hmm. interesting take on it, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're, what, 6 chapters in, and I already want even more?
Exactly. I'm ready to read the next 3.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So, the Thrawn and Eli bro trip continues.
Yes. I hope that Eli, I don't know. I hope for his own sake, he mm-hmm. decides that maybe this isn't the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But is it? Maybe we don't know, you know? And so it's like, depending on, he could either... there are lots of things that could happen to Eli.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the current character that we've seen out of Thrawn doesn't seem like one. I mean, he seems like he would be one to use someone to get where he needs to be, but at the same time, not maliciously.
Right.
Because, I mean, his idea of punishment was sending them off to a highly accommodated Navy training facility.
The best Navy training facility. And yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't see him as being malicious, really.
I don't think he's being malicious. Yeah. I just, you know, he has no regard for what someone else wants. Even if, mm-hmm. I mean, Eli is not necessary. He thinks
mm-hmm.
he's not. I mean, he could have made it through just fine. Hard, mm-hmm. but fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to bring Eli along. He chose to bring Eli along for the assignments on his ship. I mean, it's there's a reason there. And I don't think it's malicious, but I think that it's unfeeling.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a reason for him coming.
Right.
I feel that too, for sure. Whether it be that Eli makes him seem less menacing, to be able to be, I guess, less off-putting and less alarming to someone.
Not be alone.
Yeah, to not be alone. Because, I mean, he's in the outreaches of space that he's never ventured before. He doesn't know the culture. He's learning the customs and things like that. And so that could be a lot of it as well.
The first person that spoke to him, like really spoke to him. And so maybe there's an attachment there of
maybe,
just...
Maybe they're BFFs.
Maybe they are.
So that was our Holocron Book Club. So again, for those of you who did tune into the live stream, we do apologize for the technical difficulties that we did experience. Hopefully, and we'll let you know, we'll be in contact with you guys through our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of the above, wherever you get your social media, at Castle Run Weekly, to let you know about next week's live stream, where it's going to be, or when it's going to be, rather. Obviously, it's going to be at the same place. But when it's going to be, and if we'll have that for you guys. We intend to do it live. We want to do it live. But just because it's not live doesn't mean we don't want to hear from you. So if you had a comment about the chapters that we read this week, leave it in the description below. Or send us an email, KesselRunWeekly@gmail.com. Or just reach out to us on all our various social media places. So for Kessel Run Weekly, my name is Danny.
I'm Heather.
And may the force be with you.